Brachos daf tes amud aleph. Lo, lo olam yamamahu. Bahai de kale leil yonde ike inchi digana bahai shaita. The Gemara answers no, there's no contradiction. Actually, the time just before sunrise is considered a day. And the fact that it's referred to here as night is because there are people who are still asleep at that time, if you can imagine that. And if the need arises, it can be characterized as b'shochbacha, when you lie down, despite the fact that it really is already day. Amar Rabbi Acha bar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon she'amar mishum Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Zera uvavachale yomar hashkivenu. Rabbi Acha son of Rabbi Chanina said that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that Halacha is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who said it in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Zera said, as long as he will not recite, help us lie down, hashkivenu, as well. Meaning after having recited the evening Shema before sunrise, what's the reason? Since the blessing of hashkivenu, helping us lie down, is a prayer that we sleep in peace, which is not appropriate for the morning. Kiyas Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef Amar, Hada Rabbi Acha bar Rabbi Chanina Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, La b'feirush itmar ela miklala itmar. That is how the halacha was taught in the Beis HaMidrash. However, when Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, where Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi lived, he said that this ruling that Rabbi Acha, son of Rabbi Chanina, said, that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said, was not explicitly said by Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Rather, it was stated that he held that the halacha is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who said it in the name of Rabbi Akiva, based upon an inference. The incident was as follows. This pair of sages got drunk at the wedding of Rabbi Shimon Levi's son and fell asleep before reciting the evening Shema. By the time they awoke, dawn had already passed. I don't know why they didn't daven Maariv before the wedding or during the wedding. They came before, apparently they were already drunk. They came before Rabbi Shimon Levi and asked him if they could still recite the evening Shema. He said to them, Rabbi Shimon is worthy to rely upon in exigent circumstances. Rabbi Shimon Levi did not rule in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and in a case where there are no exigent circumstances, one should not rely upon that ruling. The Mishnah relates that there was an incident where Rabbi Gamliel's sons returned very late from a wedding hall, and they asked their father if they were permitted to recite Shema after midnight. The Gemara asks, and until now, had they not heard this halacha of Rabbi Gamliel? Were they unaware that he holds that one is permitted to recite the Shema even after midnight? The Gemara answers that Rabbi Gamliel's sons did not ask him his opinion. Rather, they asked him as follows. Do the Chachamim fundamentally disagree with you concerning this halacha, holding that Shema may be recited only until midnight? If so, when there's a disagreement between an individual sage and many sages, the halacha is in accordance with the opinion of the many, even though the Yachid was their father. In which case, we must in practice follow the opinion of the Chachamim. Or perhaps do the rabbis hold, the Chachamim hold, in accordance with your opinion, that the time of the evening Shema extends through the night, and that which they say that may be recited only until midnight is ordered to distance a person from a transgression. If the latter is true, then when there are extenuating circumstances, then one may recite the evening Shema after midnight. Rabbi Gamliel replied to his sons, yes, the Chachamim agree with me, and you are still obligated to recite the Shema, even though midnight has elapsed. The Chachamim say that Shema may be only recited until midnight. Why? In order to distance a person from a transgression. But after the fact, even though Chachamim permit recitation after midnight. We learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Gamliel told his sons, and that is not only with regard to the halacha of the recitation of Shema, but rather, wherever the Chachamim say until midnight, the mitzvah may be performed until dawn. Rabbi Gamliel, Mika Amar Chatzos, Diketani Velozul Botan. The Gemara questions the formulation of the Mishnah. Does Rabbi Gamliel say until midnight that he therefore teaches, and they did not only say? Rabbi Gamliel does not restrict the time of the recitation of Shema until midnight. So why does he say that not only do they say, implying that he agrees with that stringency to limit it only until midnight? It's as if to say Rabbi Gamliel agrees to the fact that you should say the Shema before midnight, but he doesn't hold that. He doesn't seem to say that. He just says you have until dawn. The Gemara explains that this is what Rabbi Gamliel said to his sons. Even according to the Chachamim, who say that the mitzvah may be performed only until midnight, the Torah obligation to perform the mitzvah continues until dawn. And that which they say, not me, but they say that it only may be recited until midnight, is in order to distance a person from transgression. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel cites several cases where a mitzvah that must be performed before midnight may actually be performed until dawn. Among them, the burning of the fats and lambs on the altar. The Gemara notes, in our Mishnah, the eating of the paschal lamb was not taught among those mitzvahs that may be performed until dawn, indicating that the mitzvah of eating the paschal lamb does not extend until dawn. The Gemara raises a contradiction to this conclusion based on a brisa. The mitzvahs of the recitation of the evening Shema, the recitation of Halal on the night of Pesach, accompanying the Korban Pesach, as well as eating the Korban Pesach, Paschal Lamb, may all be performed until dawn. On Rabbi Yosef lo kasha, ha Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, ha Rabbi Akiva, titania va'achlu es habasar ba'alai la'azeh, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer, ne'amar kam ba'alai la'azeh, ve'ne'amar la'halam va'arati v'eretz Mitzrayim ba'alai la'azeh, Rav Yosef said, this is not difficult, as these two sources reflect two conflicting opinions. This, our Mishnah, is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. While this, the Braisa, is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. As it was taught in our Braisa with regard to the verse discussing the mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach, and they shall eat of the meat on that night, roasted over fire, and matzot with bitter herbs shall they eat it. From chapter 12 of Sefer Shmos, Parshas Bo. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, here it is stated on that night, from which we cannot determine when the night ends. The same expression is encountered later in the same chapter, and I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, Hashem says, and I will strike every firstborn on the land in the land of Egypt, from person to animal. In chapter 12, verse 12 of Sefer Shmos. We know when the firstborns were struck down based on the verse, thus says Hashem, at about midnight, I will go into the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn of Egypt in Egypt shall die. That's from chapter 11 of Sefer Shmos. Therefore, just as in the verse below, the striking of the firstborn took place until midnight, as stated explicitly in the verse, so too in the same verse here. In the verse here, the mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach continues until midnight. Rabbi Akiva said to him, was it not already stated? Thus you shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staffs in your hand, and you will eat it in haste. That's chipazon, in haste. For it is the paschal offering, the Korban Pesach, for Hashem. Therefore, the paschal lamb may be eaten until the time of haste. Since the time of haste is when Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and it says, you will not leave every man from his house until the morning, so then the paschal lamb may be eaten until dawn, the morning. If that is so, why does the verse state on that night? The Gemara explains that the phrase on that night is necessary because without it, I might have thought the paschal lamb is eaten during the day, like all other sacrifices, which must be all slaughtered and eaten during the day. Therefore, the verse states on that night to underscore that this particular sacrifice is eaten at night and not during the day. Essentially, the difference between these two opinions revolves around which word they deem significant. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah considered the word night as the key word, and Rabbi Akiva considered the word haste as the key word. The Gemara begins to analyze their statements. Bishlam the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah de East Lake Zereshava East Lake Lamech of the Hazet. El Rabbi Akiva Hai Hazet, my Abbot. But granted, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who has the tradition of a verbal analogy between the phrase on that night with regard to the eating of the paschal lamb and the phrase on that night with regard to the striking of the firstborn of Egypt, it was necessary to write that, meaning Laila Hazeh, that night, the word Hazeh. Why? In order to indicate that these times are parallel. However, according to Rabbi Akiva, who has no such tradition, what does he do with the word Hazeh, that? Why is it necessary to emphasize on that night? The Gemara answers, on that night, comes to exclude another night, as one might otherwise have concluded that the Paschal lamb may be eaten for two nights. It would have entered your mind to say, since the Paschal lamb falls into the category of sacrifices of lesser sanctity, and peace offerings are also sacrifices of lesser sanctity, so just as peace offerings may be eaten for 2 days and one night in between, i.e., the day that they're sacrificed, through the following day, including the night in between, as we learn in the Torah, so too, the Paschal lamb may be eaten for two nights instead of 2 days. In other words, one might otherwise mistakenly conclude from its parallel to peace offerings that the Paschal lamb is to be eaten for two nights and the day in between them. Therefore, the verse teaches us specifically on that night, i.e., on that night it is eaten, and it is not eaten on another night. Rabbi Elizabeth Azariah. The Gemara asks, if so, where does Rabbi Elizabeth Azariah derive that the Paschal lamb may not be eaten for two nights? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Elizabeth Azariah derives this conclusion from the verse, it should not remain until morning. If one is prohibited from leaving over any part of the sacrifice until morning, he is certainly prohibited from leaving it over until the following night. Therefore, it is unnecessary to cite an additional source to teach that the Paschal lamb may only be eaten on the first night. Rabbi Akiva, Imayosam, Avamina my Boker Shani. And why does Rabbi Akiva require that to derive the Paschal lamb? May not be eaten on the second night. According to Rabbi Akiva, if it was derived from the first, it should not remain until morning, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says. Then I would have said, what is the meaning of morning? It means the second morning. The Torah does not specify until which morning this Paschal lamb may not be left, until the first morning or the second morning. Therefore, the Torah needed to write on that night and no other. And what would Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah respond? He could have said to you, if it is not otherwise noted, every unmodified mention of the word morning in the Tanakh refers to the first, meaning the next, the soonest morning. If that were not the case, no text would have any definite meaning. So it certainly means the first morning and not the second morning, not like Rabbi Akiva. Concerning the Tanakh dispute between Rabbi Akiva, who says until Alos HaShachar, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says Korban Pesach is eaten until midnight, the Gemara remarks, the dispute between these Tanaim is parallel to this dispute between those Tanaim, who disagree over the same issue. As it was taught in the Brisa with regard to the verse, there you will offer the Paschal lamb in the evening when the sun sets at the time when you left the land of Egypt, from the chapter 16 of Sefer Dvarim. Upon closer examination, that's Parshas Re'eh. Upon closer examination, it seems that this verse mentions three distinct times. In the evening refers to the afternoon until the sunset. When the sun sets refers to the time of sunset itself. And the time when you left the land of Egypt refers to, as we explained in the story of the Exodus, in Sefer Shmos, the early hours of the morning, when they went out from Mitzrayim. Therefore, it seems that these times parallel the different stages of the mitzvah of the Paschal lamb, and it is regarding these details that the following Tanaim disagree. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Ba'erev, Atazoveach, Ukvo Hashem, Ashata Ochel, Omoed, Tizchami, Mitzrayim, Atazoveach. Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, Ba'erev, Atazoveach, Ukvo Hashem, Ashata Ochel, Ba'adbasi, Ata Ochel, Ba'olechad, Moed, Tizchami, Mitzrayim. Rabbi Eliezer says in the evening, meaning that's the afternoon, you slaughter the sacrifice. From when the sun sets until midnight, then you eat it. And then, at that time, when you left the land of Egypt, you burn what remains from the sacrifice, in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who limits the eating until midnight. Rabbi Yeshua says, in the evening, that is the afternoon, you slaughter the sacrifice. From when the sun sets, then you eat it. And until when do you continue eating it? Until the time when you left the land of Egypt, meaning until morning, in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Eliezer, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, says, eat the Korban Pesach kol chatzos. And Rabbi Yeshua, like Rabbi Akiva, says, eat the Korban Pesach until dawn. Am Rabbi Abba, hakol modin kishini galo Yisrael mi Mitzrayim modin galo ala ba'erev. Shenamar hotziach ha-Hashem alokecha mi Mitzrayim. Laila ukshayatsu lo yatsu ela b'yom. Shenamar mimachas ha-Pesach yatsu b'nei Yisrael mi'yad ramon. The Gemara cites an alternative explanation of the dispute between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Abba said, everyone agrees that when the children of Israel were redeemed from Egypt, they were given permission to leave when they were redeemed only in the evening. As it is stated, in the spring, Hashem your God took you out of Egypt at night. Also from Parshas Re'eh, Dvarim chapter 16. And when they actually left, they left only during the day. And when they actually left. As it says, on the 15th of the first month, on the day, after the offering of the Paschal Lamb, the children of Israel went out with a high hand before the eyes of Egypt. That is from Parak Lamed Gimel of Sefer Bamidbar, indicating that they actually went out during the day. That verse says, "Vayusam Yeram says bechodesh Rishon machamishah asayom lechodesh Rishon mimachos haPesach yatzu b'nei Yisrael v'yad Ramala eni Mitzrayim." This is in the context of Parshas Maaseh, and it says they set out from Ramses in the first of the month, on the 15th of the first month. It was on the morrow of the Passover offering that the Israelites started out defiantly in plain view of all the Egyptians. So recounting the journeys of the Bnei Israel wandering in the desert. Almad echliku, al shas kipazon. Now the Elizabeth is not a kipazon, kipazon to Mitzrayim. However, with regard to what do they disagree? They disagree with regard to the time of the haste. As it is written, you will eat it in haste, for it is the paschal offering of Hashem, for Hashem. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, what is the meaning of haste? It's the haste of the Egyptians at midnight, as they hurry to the houses of the people of Israel to send them away, in fear of the plague of the firstborn. Rabbi Akiva saw Machi Pasim Klipasim to Israel. And Rabbi Akiva held, what is the meaning of haste? It was the haste of the Jewish people in the morning as they rushed to leave. Pani Nami Hachi, Hotziach Hashem Elokecha Mimitzrayim Lailo. Similar to Rabbi Akiva's statement, it was also taught in a braisa regarding the verse, Hashem your God took you out from its rhyme at night. The question arises, did they leave at night? Didn't they leave during the day? As it's stated, on the day after the offering of the Paschal Lamb, the children of Israel went out with a high hand. Rather, this teaches that the redemption began for them in the evening. Dabar Nabe Odne Ha'am. Amra Dibei Rabbi Yana, Ein Na Elo Lashem Bakasha. Amra Yakarish Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Bakasha Mincha, Lech VeEmor LaHem LeYisrael, Bakasha Mikem, Shalom Mitzrayim Klei Chesed VeChazav Shelo Yomar. Since the last topic discussed in the Gemara revolved around the Exodus from Egypt, the Gemara cites additional Agadic Midrash on that subject. With regard to the verse, speak, please, Na, please means Na, is please in the ears of the people. And they should borrow, every man from his fellow, and every woman from her fellow, silver and gold vessels. From chapter 11 of Sefer Shmos. The word na is unclear. The students of the school of Rabbi Yannai said, please, the word na is nothing more than an expression of supplication. It means please. Asking, why would God implore an expression of supplication in approaching Israel to take the gold and silver? The Gemara explains that Hashem said to Moshe, I beseech you, go and tell Israel, I beseech you, borrow gold, silver, vessels of silver and vessels of gold from the Egyptians in order to fulfill the promise that I made to Avram in the covenant between the pieces, the Brisbane of Mitzrayim, so that, and this concludes Amud Aleph, Tes Amud Beis, begins as follows. Oso tzadik ma'avodum ve'inu osam, kiyem bahem, ve'achreichen yatsu beruchus gadol lo kiyem bahem. Again, Hashem wants it so that that righteous person, which is Avram Avinu, will not say God fulfilled his pronouncement and that they will be a slave, enslaved and afflicted, but God did not fulfill his pronouncement, and afterward they will leave with great possessions. As God said to Abraham, surely you will know that your descendants will be foreigners in the land that is not theirs, and they will be enslaved and afflicted for 400 years, and also that nation who enslaves them I will judge. And afterward they will leave with great possessions. From chapter 15 of Sefer Bereishis, in Parshas Lech Lecha. Amru lo, ulevashi netzi be'atzmeinu. Mashal la'odam shahaya chavush beveis ha'asurim, v'hayu omrim lo, b'nei odam. The school of Rabbi Yana continues. Bnei Yisrael said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "If we could get out ourselves." The Gemara offers a parable to one who is incarcerated in prison, and the people would say to him, "We promise, we will release you tomorrow and give you a lot of money." He says to them, "I beseech you, release me today, and I'll ask you for nothing." So too, Bnei Yisrael preferred leaving immediately, empty-handed, rather than leaving later with great riches. Vayashilu, Amr Abiyami, Malamiche Hishilim Balkarcham, Ikidami Balkarcham to Mitzrayim, Ikidami Balkarcham to Israel. With regard to the spoils taken from Egypt, described in the verse, and Hashem gave the nation grace in the eyes of Egypt, and they gave them what they requested, and they emptied out Egypt. Rabbi Ami said, this teaches that the Egyptians gave them what they requested against their will. There is a dispute with regard to the question, against whose will? Some say it was given against the will of the Egyptians, and some say it was given against the will of Israel, of the B'nai Israel. The proponent of each position cites the broker's opinion. The one who said it was given against the will of the Egyptians cites the verse describing Israel's exit of Egypt as it is written, as she who tarries at home divides the spoils, from Tehillim chapter 68. That which the woman in the verse requested from her counterpart was actually spoils, taken against the will of an enemy. The one who said that it was against the will of Israel claims that they did not want the vessels because of the burden of carrying a heavy load on a long journey. By Nazlas Mitzrayim, Amar Rabbi Yami Balabachi Asua Kimetsura She'ein Ba Dagon. Bereish Lakish Amar Asua Kimetsura She'ein Ba Dagim. With regard to the continuation of the verse on the emptied Egypt, Rabbi Yami said, this indicates they made Egypt like a trap in which there is no grain that serves as bait to attract birds. Reish Lakish said, they made Egypt like an abyss in the sea without fish. The Gemara proceeds to discuss the promise of redemption from Egypt that God made to Moshe at the burning bush. When Moshe asked God what to say when Israel asks him God's name, God said to Moshe, I will be that I will be. And Hashem said, thus will you say to the B'nai Israel, I will be, has sent me to you. From the third chapter of Sefer Shmos. So Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to go and tell Israel, I was with you in this enslavement and this redemption, and I will be with you in the enslavement of the kingdoms in the future. Moshe said before Hashem, Master of the universe, it is enough for them to endure. Like, don't give them too much to suffer. Let the future suffering be endured at its appointed time. Don't bring it. No reason to jump the gun. There's no need to mention their future enslavement. So Hashem agreed with Moshe and said to him, go and tell the B'nai Yisrael only that I will be has sent me to you. Aneni Hashem Aneni. Amar Aviyavo Lama Amar Aliyo Aneni Yishtiko. Ami Malamichi Amar Aliyo Lifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu Ribono Shalolam Aneni Shaterid Ish Min Shemayim Batochol Kol Asher Alam Yisbeach Aneni Shetaseach Taitam Kedesh Shalo Yomru Maisik Shafimim. Having explained the use of the double talk of the double language of I will be that I will be, the Gemara explains the double language employed by Eliyahu on Har Carmel. Answer me, Hashem, answer me. He says it twice. Answer me, Hashem, answer me, that this people will know that you are Hashem God, and you have turned their hearts backward. This is from Melachim Aleph, chapter 18. But Bibo said, why did Eliyahu say answer me twice? This repetition teaches that Eliyahu said before Hashem, Master of the universe, answer me that fire will descend from heaven and consume everything that is on the altar in the competition between the worshippers of Hashem and the worshippers of the Baal. And answer me, secondly, that you will divert their mind from devising alternative explanations for what they witnessed so that they will say that there were acts of sorcery, as it is stated that Eliyahu said, and you have turned their hearts backward, so God can restore them to the proper path as well. Mishnah. Mayamas HaKorah Nishma B'Shachris. Mishiyakar B'Tlevis L'Lavon. Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Beit Chelis Lecharte, Begomra Adonai Tzachava, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ad Shalosh Shos, Shekin Darach Panei Malachim La'am, Rabbi Shalosh Shos. Mishnah says, from when does one recite the Shema in the morning? From when a person can distinguish between sky blue, Chelis, and white. Rabbi Eliezer says, from when one can distinguish between sky blue and leek green, which is obviously a later point in time. And one must finish reciting Shema until the end of the period when you rise, which is sunrise, when the sun begins to shine. Rabbi Yeshua says one may recite the morning Shema until 3 hours of the day, which is still considered as when you rise, since that's the habit of kings to rise from their sleep at 3 hours of the day. While there is still a set time frame for the recitation of Shema, one who recites Shema from that time onwards loses nothing. Although he does not fulfill the mitzvah of reciting Shema at its appointed time, he is nevertheless considered like one who reads the Torah and is rewarded accordingly. The Gemara says, My Ben Clearless Lava. Elam Ben Gavava da Amr, the Hivar, the Gavava da Amr, the Tretla, Habaleri, and Ami made a yadi. Elam Ben Clearless Shabbat, the Lava Shabbat. The Gemara says, the Mishnah stated that the time for the recitation of the morning Shema begins when one can distinguish between sky blue and white. The Gemara asks, To what is between sky blue and white referring? If you say that it means distinguishing between a pile of white wool and a pile of sky blue wool, so wouldn't one know the difference at night as well? This is white, this is blue. Rather, it must be a reference to the ritual fringes made with sky blue strings that you can find in Sefer Bamidbar, chapter 15, along at the end of Parshas Shalach, along with white strings, and one must be able to distinguish between the sky blue strings in the tzitzis and the white strings in the tzitzis. With regard to the beginning of the time for the recitation of the morning Shema, a Braisa cites additional opinions not cited in the Mishnah. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Mishiyaka ben Ze'ev Lekelev, Rabbi Kiva Omer ben Chavar La'arod, V'achirim Omer Mishiyira Es Chavero, Rachok Arba Amos V'yakiran. It was taught in Braisa, Rabbi Meir says that the day begins when one can distinguish between two similar animals, for example, a wolf versus a dog. Rabbi Akiva provides a different sign and says that the day begins when there is sufficient light to distinguish between a regular donkey and a wild donkey. And the Cherim say that one can see another person, who is merely an acquaintance, according to the Talmud Yerushalmi, from a distance of 4 cubits, about 7 feet, and recognize him. Amar Rav Huna halacha ka'acherim. Amar Abaye letfilin ka'acherim. Lekriyash ba'ke vasikim. The Amar Rav Yochanan vasiki na'yu gomrin osa ad ha'netzacham. Rav Huna said the halacha is in accordance with Acherim. Abaye said, regarding the time from which one may da'an tefillin, a mitzvah incumbent only by day, the halacha is in accordance with the Acherim. But with regard to the recitation of the Shema, one should conduct himself in accordance with the custom of the Vasikin, pious individuals who are scrupulous in their performance of the mitzvot. As Rabbi Yochanan said, the Vasikin would conclude the recitation of the Shema with sunrise, and one should act accordingly. So tefillin is earlier than the Shema. Tanei na mehachi, v'sikin hayu gomri no saim en etzichama, k'dei she'isbach gula l'tefila, v'nim simis ma'ala v'yom. It was also taught in the Braisa that the v'sikin would conclude the recitation of the Shema with sunrise in order to juxtapose the blessing of redemption, which immediately follows the recitation of the Shema, with prayer and pray during the day. Am Rabbi Zera ma'ikra, yira'ucha im ha'shemesh v'liv na'yarech dor dorim. Regarding this custom of the Vasikin, Rabbi Zera said, what verse is the source for this tradition? They shall fear you with the sun, and before the moon for all generations. From Tehillim chapter 72. This verse indicates that one should express one's awe of heaven, they shall fear you, immediately before sunrise, with the sun. Hey Rabbi Yosi ben Al Yakim Mishum Kahala Kadisha de Yerushalayim, Kolosomak Ula Litfila Enu Niza Kol Yom Kulo. Rabbi Yosi ben Al Yakim testified in the name of the holy community in Yerushalayim, a title accorded to a particular group of sages who live there, that one who juxtaposes redemption and prayer at sunrise will incur no harm for the entire day. Amar Rabbi Zera, Ini v'ha ana samchi v'itzaki. Amar le b'mai itzakt da'amteis asa lebe malka. Hasam nami mibay le demeyav agrit lemichsi ape malka. Da'am Rabbi Yochanan le'ol mishtal alam l'orot likras malchi Yisrael v'lo likras malchi Rabbi Zera said, if that's so, didn't I juxtapose redemption and prayer, and nevertheless I was harmed, even though he was somebody who lived in Tula? Rabbi Yosef ben Elakim asked Rabbi Zera, and how were you harmed? That you brought a myrtle branch into the king's palace. The Gemara refers to Rabbi Zera's responsibility as one of the respected members of the community to participate in a delegation that brought a crown of myrtle as a gift to the king, a dubious honor in which Rabbi Zera had no interest. However, there too you had to pay a price in order to see the face of the king. As Rabbi Yochanan said, one should always strive to run to greet the kings of Israel, to witness them in their glory, and not only one must run to greet the kings of Israel, but even to greet the kings of the nations of the world, so that if he will be privileged to witness the redemption of Israel, meaning the times of Mashiach, so he will distinguish what the difference between the kings of Israel and the kings of the nations of the world, to see how much greater the Jewish king will be and how his rule will be manifest. So therefore, it was a privilege for Rabbi Zera that he was allowed to see the face of the king. So you shouldn't think that was considered a nezik he received that day. It was actually a good thing, because you can ultimately compare it between Mashiach versus the Gentile king. Amar Rabbi Ila, the Ula, ki Ialta la hasam shel shlomo de rav barona achi b'mayim at kol ha chabura. The Adam Gadol Hu Besameach Bamitzvos. Zimnechada Samach Gula Vitvila Velo Pasik Chuche Mipume Kuliyom. Rabbi Elah said to Ula before Ula left to go to Babel, when you go to Babel, ask after my brother, Rabbi Baruda, in the presence of the entire group, as he is a great man who rejoices in the mitzvot, and it is only fitting that he should be accorded respect. The Gemara provides proof that he was indeed a great man who rejoiced in the mitzvot. Once, Rabbi Baruda juxtaposed, he was so like Ula to tefillah, redemption, and prayer, at sunrise, as was the custom of the Nasikim, according to Tosfot, and laughter and joy did not cease from his mouth for the entire day. In practice, the Gemara asks, how is one able to juxtapose redemption and prayer? Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say at the beginning of the prayer, one says, Hashem, open my lips, that my mouth should declare your praise, from chapter 51 of Tehillim. And at the end of the prayer, one says, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable before you, Hashem, my rock and my redeemer, from chapter 19 of Tehillim. If so, the first verse, Hashem, Sosai Tiftach, is an interruption between the redemption and the prayer. Al Rabbi Lozer, Tehei B'Tfilah Shel Aris. Rabbi Lozer said, let this verse, Hashem Svasai Tiftach, be recited only in the evening prayer, but not in the morning prayer, in order that you could be Somech Ula to Tfilah. Fa'am Rabbi Yochanan, Ezer Ben Olam Abba, Zeh Somech Ula Shel Aris, B'Tfilah Shel Aris. The Gemara asked, but wait, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, who is worthy of a place in the world to come? He who juxtaposes redemption of the evening prayer, the Gula, to the evening prayer, the Tfilah, even at night. Therefore, the verse from Psalms should not be recited before the evening prayer either, because it's a hefsek. Elam Rabbi Elazar, Tehei B'Tfilah, B'Tfilah Samincha. Rather, Rabbi Elazar said, let this verse, Hashem over my lips, be recited only before the afternoon prayer. Rav Ashi Amar, Afilu Tamu Akulo, V'Kevet Kavua, Rabbanam B'Tfilah, K'Tfilah, Arif L'Damia. Rav Ashi adds another explanation. Even if you say that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Hashem over my lips is recited before all the prayers, including the morning and the afternoon, including the morning and the evening, certainly in the afternoon, but even the morning and the evening, since the sages instituted this verse, it is considered an extended prayer, and it is an inseparable part of the prayers, and if redemption is juxtaposed to this verse, it is no different than if redemption, geula, was juxtaposed to the prayer directly. Rav Ashi supports his claim. If you do not say this, so how does one juxtapose the redemption of the evening prayer to the evening prayer? Mustn't one recite, help us lie down, Hashkivenu, after the Geula, the redemption? Therefore, since the sages instituted the recitation of Hashkivenu, it is considered as an extended blessing of redemption. So too, since the sages instituted this verse in prayer, Hashem Svasai Tiftach, it is considered an extension of the prayer. With regard to the verse with which the prayer concludes, the Gemara deliberates. Now, since this verse, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable before you, can connote the end of prayer, petitioning God that he accept the prayer that you just recited, or it could connote the beginning of the prayer that you want, that you're about to recite. So, may the words of my mouth, which I'm about to recite, be acceptable before you. So, if so, the question arises, why did the sages institute it to be said after the 18 blessings that constitute the Amidah? Let it be recited at the beginning. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bereda Rabbi Shimon Rem Hazi Hol Velo Amar David Ala Achashman Esrei Parshias Lepikach Takinu Labanan Achashman Esrei Brachos. Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon Rem Hazi, said, this verse is recited after the 18 blessings comprising the Amidah because David HaMelech only said this verse after 18 chapters of Tehillim. You're going to find it at the end of chapter 19. I think that's because two of the chapters are actually fused together. Therefore, the sages instituted to recite it after the 18 blessings of the Amidah. Oh, the Gemara itself asked this. Do I feel embarrassed? Hanishmon Esrei Tisha Esrei Havya. The Gemara asks, are these 18 psalms? They are 19 chapters that precede that verse. Asher Ha'ish V'lamo Rag Shugoyim Chara Parshi. The Gemara answers, happy is the man, the first chapter of Psalms, and why are the nations in an uproar? The second chapter constitute a single chapter. So the 19 chapters are actually 18. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bereshit Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi may have a shalosh parashiyos Amar David, v'lo Amar halaluka ad shira'a v'mapaltan v'mapalason shel Rishayim. Sh'namar yitamu chatayim min ha'aretz v'Rishayim arayin barchi nafshi es Hashem halaluka. The Gemara cites as a proof The Gemara cites proof that the first two chapters are in fact a single chapter. As Rabbi Huda, the son of Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, said, David said 103 chapters, and he did not say Hallelujah in any one of them until he saw the downfall of the wicked. Only then could David say Hallelujah wholeheartedly. Wow. As it is stated, let sinners cease from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, my soul, Hallelujah. That's the Tehillim, chapter 104. So the question is, why is it considered 103? Hani may have a shalosh, may have an avahavian, elish ma'amina, ashrei ish, v'lamarik shugoyim, chadaparshi. Here too, the Gemara notes that the calculation appears inaccurate. Are these 103 psalms? There are 104. Rather, conclude from this, the happy is the man, the first Tehillim, and why are the nations in an uproar constitute a single portion? So 1 and 2 are really together. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, additional proof that these two chapters comprise a single portion is cited from what Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani said, Rabbi Yochanan said, and this concludes Daf Tes Amud Beis.